Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message that I'm sharing with you today is entitled, Better Together. We are better together with God, and we are better together with the family of God as followers of Jesus. In this message, I want to encourage you to draw closer to God and draw closer to the family of God in order to fulfill your ministering purpose in the body of Christ. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
I don't know if you know this, but there is something called the National Day Calendar. Some of you may have an app on your phone that it's the national day of something constantly, right? But today is National Double Cheeseburger Day. National Double Cheeseburger Day. I don't know how official these national days are, but that's a pretty good one, I think. National Double Cheeseburger Day should be every day, in my opinion. But I was thinking, the next time, if I could just remember this, maybe someone can help me, and they can look forward and see, does this day fall always on Back to Church Sunday? Because if it does, we are going to combine two great national days next year. Amen. If I would have had this aha moment a week prior, we would be having double cheeseburgers today for lunch. Amen. I'm just saying, that's what would happen. We would have bacon up to here, too. Oh, man, I'll tell you why. I need some cow anyways. Cow is good. Next time, someone please have the sense to remind me. Pastor Jesse, National Back to Church Sunday is on the calendar. Is it close? Is it even near? Is it in the same county with Double Cheeseburger Day? And we will celebrate them together, all right? So with all this talk about double cheeseburgers, I'm sure you're ready, right? The subliminal messages are out there, and your stomach, you're desiring for a nice, greasy old cheeseburger. I love cheese paper, don't you? So you already know what I'm talking about. You can't just eat the cheeseburger. You got to take the cheese that melts on the paper and eat it too. There's something good about that when it just mixes. I don't know the chemicals that take place, but they should sell cheese paper. It's okay to have fun in church, right? I mean, it's. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where we're supposed to be somber like a funeral home. So it's okay to have fun in church. You know, heaven is going to be a place of great joy. I mean, if you come to heaven all frowny face, you may not be welcome then. I don't care what happens. They say, you know, maybe you should just go turn around and go the other way. But I'm just saying, heaven is going to be a place of joy. It's going to be a place of celebration. So why not in church, right? I mean, why not? If we're going to celebrate and be joyful in heaven, why not have joy and celebrate here? So even if I believe when we get to heaven, there's something that's talked about. There's a banquet taking place. There's going to be some type of banquet that takes place, and maybe, just maybe, are you getting it? Guess what they may have? Double cheeseburgers. I don't know how biblical that is, but maybe Chick-fil-A. Unfortunately, Popeyes will not be there because they'll be cast into the lake of fire and grease with the devil and his angels. So seriously, this place where we worship together should be a place where we joyfully encounter the presence of God. And when we come together for worship, for fellowship, and receive encouragement from God's Word, we should celebrate the life it has given us, and we should steward that life with joy, with great joy. So our theme for this year's National Back to Church Sunday, that's a mouthful, is together. Everyone say that for me? Together. But we are better together, better together. But not all church families are alike. Not all churches are better together. There's a few, I'm sure, that are out there that are not really better together. We even read in the Bible where there are some churches that when they come together, it's not good. I'll give you one example. Church of Corinth was one. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 11:17, this is Paul addressing the church in Corinth. This is what he says. Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you. Boy, this is not going good already. Since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Isn't that embarrassing? That the Apostle Paul, I mean, you know, he's a big shot in Christianity. He's like, when you all get together, it's bad. You must have just stay home. It's so bad. I mean, that is sad, isn't it? That is really sad. And the church of Corinth, they were people who were divided. They were pitted against each other. And when they came together, it caused more friction and it caused more harm. Holt Assembly of God, we are not a perfect church. And I am definitely not a perfect pastor. We may not have double cheeseburgers, but we have a healthy church. And we can experience God's presence in this church. And we can receive encouragement. We can give encouragement. And we can experience what I think is illustrated in the scriptures. It doesn't mean we're perfect. And I'm just saying this. If you're looking for a perfect church, keep on going. You're going to be going for a really long time. In fact, you're going to go throughout eternity. Because the church, there's no church that is perfect. You know why? It has people. So when we look at a church, what are we supposed to do when we come together? What should be our attitude? I think our attitude is explained here, Paul writing his letter to the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesians 4:3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If a church becomes relationally dysfunctional, you know, if there's all kinds of junk that's going on in that church, it will be destroyed. Or at least it will be dismantled to a place that it could be started up again. All right, and so when it becomes relationally dysfunctional, that church is in that condition. It not only affects the church, but it affects that community. See, we're called to reach our community, amen? And the minute that we get dysfunctional, we're going to miss our purpose. Because every church that becomes dysfunctional, they turn on themselves, they complain about everything. There's all kinds of friction. They will lose focus in sight of their goal and their calling and their purpose. And we will turn on each other. We are better together, church. We're supposed to be better together. But as long as we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, we will have this great thing that we have. Let's cherish it. Let's keep it. Let's make sure that we continue to go the direction that we're going. Amen? What does the Bible say about being together? What does the Bible say about being together? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, what? Together. Together, as in the manner of some, not us, somebody else who's not here today, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Of course, the day that we're talking about is the day that Jesus will return. So I know there are people who, they miss coming to church for various reasons. And you know what? If you have a health reason, that's understandable, is it not? I mean, that's totally understandable. But most of the times, we'll miss church for other reasons. And in this day and age, sometimes we have these reasons why we don't go to church, and we get out of habit of going to church, and then we make up all kinds of excuses as why we don't go to church. But I'm just saying, in this day and age, with the abundance of churches, I mean, you have your pick of the litter, different shapes, different styles, you know, different characteristics in that church. You can go and find a church where you feel comfortable, where you can serve, where you can give, where you can worship, where you can give God glory. There's no sense in missing this togetherness that we're all called to experience. If you're born again, the Bible says you are a child of God and members of God's family. And we're instructed from God's word to assemble together as family. We're instructed in His word clearly here to assemble together the family. You know, you can't change the family you're born into. And it's the same way with God's kingdom. Look around. And the good news is, I think we're not perfect. And if I thought we were perfect, especially perfection in my eyes, we'd be a mess. But I understand that we have health, and we want to maintain that health. And we will as long as we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And the Bible gives us all these examples of what that looks like and how a church is to function. But if you can find a church that has that attitude, they're going to endeavor, they're going to keep on keeping on, they're going to do everything they do to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They give you an opportunity to serve, they give you an opportunity to worship, they give you an opportunity to give, they give you an opportunity to fellowship, then you should put yourself down and just be parked in that place. Because again, if you're looking for a perfect church, you're never, ever going to find it. Well, this and that. Well, they did this. They didn't do that. You know what? You're going to find that in every church. And sometimes we just got to say, all right, this is where I'm at. I'm going to keep on with this attitude. I'm going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So if there's any doubt in your mind about what it means to come together and why we should come together as believers, why church is important, we can look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is basically a history book of the church in the first few decades of Christianity. Look at Acts 2, 42. It says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's coming together. In the breaking of bread. All right, but then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Look at this, verse 44. Now all who believed were together. They were together. And all had things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from what? House to house. They ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people. And look at this, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That's a healthy church. That's not just because it's the first church or the early church. It's just a healthy church. You know, it doesn't say that they had lights. It doesn't say they had sounds. It doesn't say they didn't have, we know they didn't, but I'm just saying, it doesn't have stylistic things. It doesn't matter, because those things change. We should never get so stubborn on styles, because guess what? Styles are going to change. If you don't believe so, look at the church for the last 2,000 years. Styles have changed. Things are going to come and go, but here are some things that are going to be steadfast that we should look at, and one of those things is togetherness. When we come into relationship with Jesus and he comes into our lives, are we not better? Are we not better because of what God does in us? I don't know about you. This version of Jay is a lot better than the version of Jay that was unsaved. And listen, as we continue to progress in our walk with God, we should become better, more and more like Jesus. Amen? So we are better together with God. When we assemble together for worship or fellowship or just doing life together in or outside of the church, the result should be this. We should be better for that. We should be better together. When we do this, when we're healthy and we assemble together and we go out into our community and we live in this way, our community should be better. The community should be reached. It should be touched. It should be changed by our very presence. That doesn't make us better than anyone. It just simply means there's light and darkness. There's an effect that takes place. So our community should be better when we're together. So what does the Bible say about being together? Here's a very familiar scripture. I think most of us are familiar with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Hey, church, we're going to go through things. It's good to have someone to help us up, amen? Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We're better together. We are better together. God's redemptive purpose for our lives goes beyond our personal relationship with God. God's purpose, his redemptive purpose for our lives goes beyond us. See, we are so patterned to think that it just stops here. The buck stops here. Listen, the buck begins here. We are so patterned to think that all that matters is my relationship with God. And what we do is we see this question Jesus was asked. And I know I've used this over the last couple of weeks, but I just want to continue to go back to some verses and to show you some things. Matthew 22, this is what Jesus was asked in verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What is the great commandment? If you're going to take this Bible and we're going to boil it down to what's the greatest commands from this law, from this word, what would it be? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I just love this verse. Verse 39, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our redemptive purpose is summarized right there. if you will just boil it down to a basic statement, our redemptive purpose is boiled down right there. See, our redemptive purpose is to love God. And second is to love other people. Everyone has been born apart from God. Every one of us. None of us was born into the family of God. We've all been born sinners, right? Therefore, we all need redemption. And redemption restores that relationship with God. And when we're restored relationally to God, we become His children. Every one of us has a sinful nature. Every one of us, we're born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature will affect our human relationships. It will affect our human relationships. And the redemptive work of Christ must extend into those human relationships, or you can never fulfill the second command, which is like the first, to love others as yourself. It's impossible. See, redemption has to go beyond you. It has to permeate ourselves, our spirit. It has to flow out of us. Does that make any sense? See, Jesus came to restore us, and when we are born again, we are children of God. Jesus came to restore us, and when we're born into the family of God, we become brothers and sisters. Families stick together. When we are born again, we're connected to God and His family and to God's people. Again, if when we do that, we must be committed to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And when we do that, guess what is the result? It's life and life abundantly. It's life and it's life abundantly. I've heard people say this. They're a Christian, but they don't go to church. And they can give you a list a mile long as to why they don't go to church. And there's a reason why they don't assemble together. And I'm just saying this, okay? This is all I'm going to say. This is deep, all right? If you can go to Walmart, you can make it to church. Just make it a priority. There's a purpose to it. And I understand there are factors that are beyond our control sometimes. But I'm just saying this. If church is in Sunday morning and there's nothing wrong and you're at home in your house coat watching TV, you can be in church, amen? See, John 14:3 says this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." See, Jesus is preparing a place in eternity for all believers. I know we like to say, "Ben, Jesus is preparing a place for me." He is. He's preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place for the family of God. Why on earth would we ever conclude that we are exempt from assembling together as God's family? What would bring us to that conclusion? I mean, we can't read the Bible with all sincerity and come up to that conclusion. We can't. Now, we can justify, we can twist and torque, but if we're just looking at the pure, unadulterated Word of God, we are called to assemble together. And if you can make it to Walmart, you can assemble together. Amen? Look at what the Bible says about being together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is kind of where I'm going to concentrate here for the next few minutes. I think this is a great verse. If you miss togetherness and our purpose, it's right here in this chapter of the Bible. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. Boy, they needed a lot of help, remember. When they got together, it was bad. So he's trying to straighten them out throughout the whole letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but also the members of that one body, being many are one body, so also is Christ." Verse 14, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many." Verse 15, "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body." Verse 16, "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an ear, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" See, a body parts, it's connected together, right? We're connected together by joints, by tissue, by bones, by fluids, by nerves, all kinds of stuff. This body is connected, thank God. Aren't you glad that when you're walking down the street, something just don't fall off on you? Well, maybe that's not a bad idea, right? 10 pounds, all right, there it goes. Let's go eat some double cheeseburgers. Let's say, if you're the big toe in the body of Christ, and you don't have any connection to the body, you're not the big toe in the body of Christ anymore. You're just a big toe. I know this is deep, but I mean, sometimes I think we just need to get a picture, right? when we're not together, this is what it looks like. So a toe without a body, by the way, it dies. See, we need each other. We need to be connected to each other. There's a purpose there. God is building us, establishing us, pouring out his spirit into his body, into his temple, and we are that body. There are too many churches without big toes. Too many churches without big toes. And there are too many toes without churches. We're called together. I'm praying that everyone in here realizes it's important for us to be together. That it's not just a church idea. It's not just a pastor scheme. This is something very biblical. I love it. I'm not going to lie to you. I love it when the family's together. And I hate it when people miss. I just do. I don't think any preacher says, I don't care where you are. I believe that there's something special, not just what's taking place here now. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond just someone sharing a sermon for a half hour, 45 minutes. 1 Corinthians 12:17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. See, if you're born again, God has a specific purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life, and that purpose is connected with each other. I hope everyone just heard what I said. God's got a specific purpose for your life, but that purpose is interconnected together. See, we're not called to be lone rangers. We're called the body of Christ. We're not the bodies of Christ. We're the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, keep on going, verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. See, we think that our calling in the body of Christ is only significant if we are the leaders. Sometimes we think the most significant members of the body of Christ are the preachers. They're not. We're not. We're not the most important. We are not the most important. That's a Western way of thinking. But it's totally incorrect against God's word. See, we're not supposed to be the superstars of the local church. But we have this idolatrous society that creates this phenomenon. What we think is, man, I'm nothing, I'm no one unless I have a platform or unless I have this opportunity. And I'm telling you, that's dead wrong. Because Jesus said the greatest among us would be a what? A servant. Pastors are not, listen to this, this is Western thinking that will change us, but pastors are not called to do the work of the ministry. But why is that? You know, we can go through church throughout church in this community, and we'll find pastors doing most of the work of the church. See, the pastor is not supposed to be the star. He cannot save the community. He cannot fulfill the purpose of that church in this community. It's impossible. A pastor needs a church, and a church needs a pastor. And together, they can accomplish their purpose for reaching their community effectively for Jesus. Together. Can I tell you this? If you have a church that's all pastor-led, pastor-driven, pastor, when he leaves or he dies, everything's going to fall apart. Everything's going to fall apart. There's going to be a vacuum that's created. And it happens church after church. And why don't we smarten up? See, the pastor is like the head coach of the team. He's the head coach of the team. Don't get all too theological on me. Just stick with me. Okay, he's like the head coach of the team. You're the players. He's the coach of the team. You're the players. See, the pastor can't play your position. And you can't be in the pastor's position. But you have a specific position, and that position has a purpose. And that purpose has a greater fulfillment in this community. Because we're only in this church for a couple hours a week at best. The greater fulfillment is outside of this church. So the pastor calls together a practice. Sunday morning. Wednesday. See, the pastor can't play those positions because that's the team's purpose. The team's purpose is to play that position and to play it well. The players have the ability, listen to me, the ability and the responsibility to be on the playing field. It would be wrong for you to get a fish on the line and call the pastor to come reel it in. Do you know what I'm saying? All right, you're sharing Jesus with someone, you're ministering to someone, and hey, can you lead them to Jesus? You know, I have had that happen here. And I had just preached a message on winning someone to Jesus. And I looked at him, I go, hello? See, unfortunately, we're not always putting together a full team on the playing field. And if you don't put a full team on the playing field, you ain't going to win. I don't care how good you are. They're going to wear you out. So we have to put a full team onto the field. And I understand that going to church, this is not the apex of our spiritual experience during the week. This should not be it. This should not be the spiritual apex of our spirituality throughout the week. However, if you don't come to church, if you don't come to practice, the coach can't put you in the game. And you can't fulfill your purpose then. Because like it or not, well, see, this, I look at the churches this way. This is the highest priority. You may not agree with that. That's okay. And you say, well, you're a pastor. But I look at God's kingdom and God's work as the most important. Period. Period. And you say, well, if I don't tithe anymore, it's different. You know what? God will fill your place. I'm just being honest with you. If we really think that that's, we're really screwed up then. My point is this, that if we don't handle this as a job or better than a job, I'll tell you, those people are going straight to hell. And if, listen, you say, well, that's not on us. It is. Because we are to love God and love people. The first is like the second. Everyone belonging to the body of Christ, you have a purpose. You have a position on the team. Some of you, I need you to show up for practice a little bit more often so I can put you in the game. Because some of you have talents and abilities. You have a lot of things that can be used for the kingdom. But it's like this. Let's say you're serving in children's ministries, which in my opinion is the most highest priority, should be, of this church. We can do without worship. We can. We can do church without worship. Listen, they did it for thousands of years without a worship team. All right, there's a lot of things, but I can tell you this, that if we are not invested fully in the future, we are going to shut this place down one day. You have to reach out. You say, well, they're not paying the bills, they're not doing this. You know what? You're missing the heart of God is what you're doing. Because I don't know about you, but when I look at Jesus interacting with children, it's something very special. See, some of us need to get to practice a little bit more often so that we can put you in the game and that you can fulfill your purpose. Because everybody has something to bring to the game. Let's keep on going. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 23. Hope this isn't too heavy. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. Verse 25, boy, this is so important now. Remember, he's talking about a church that is divided. He's helping them to see why they need to be connected, why they should be healthy as they're connected together. Here it is. Verse 25, that there should be no schism, no division in the church, in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Well, that's what we hired the pastor to do, right? And that's why things get messed up so easy. See, if the church, if we refer to the pastor as a shepherd, and he is, and we believe it's his job to care for the sheep, what does the Bible say? Not what does our tradition say, not what our opinion says, but what does the Bible say? Because we look at the Bible, I say this, the pastor feeds the sheep. He encourages the sheep. He trains the sheep. He equips the sheep for ministry and sends the sheep out, releases the sheep literally to goats and to other sheep. Paul says that there should be no schism or division in the church. Do you know what? I believe this. If the church would be more interactive together, we would have less division. We would have less division. See, some of us can't even in our religious minds get past that because we say, oh, no, no. The more we get together, the more we get messed up. It's not the way the Bible says. There should be no schism. The church should care for itself, for each other. See, if we hire a pastor to care for each other, you've not hired a pastor, you've hired a chaplain. You've not hired a pastor. See, go to Ephesians and look what the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, and the evangelist has called to do. Train, equip, release the church into works of ministry. That's the purpose. Now, you can have all kinds of religious ideas and traditions. Grandma said this, and grandpa said this. I don't care what they. What does the Bible say? And what I'm telling you is this, we need each other. We need to be together. We need to be in practice together. We need to do this thing together so we can win our community. As a pastor, I need you for sure, because I cannot. There is no way I can reach our community alone. It's impossible, and I'll drop the ball. I'll drop the ball. But we're better together, church. We are better together. We are stronger together. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are somebody in this body. You are somebody in the body of Christ. God has a plan and a purpose for you. God has a plan and a purpose that involves you being connected to the local church. See, Christianity is a team sport. And again, in our idolatrous culture, we've made it an individual sport. Pastor, our relationship with God is personal. But can I tell you this? Once you give your life to Jesus, it goes beyond personal. Because the second commandment is like the first. And the second involves people. I've heard Christians say that coming to church is not required. It's not a requirement to become a Christian. They're right. You don't have to be in church to become a Christian. In fact, I think it's better that we become Christians in places other than the altar, believe it or not, because that shows me that we're really doing our job then. If we're really leading people to Jesus and it takes place outside of this church. However, from a biblical perspective, we understand that being part of a family of God means we're a part of a family, not apart from a family. Are you following me? So I can't look at the totality of Scripture and say that no man is an island entire to himself. We are in this together. We are individuals who surrender our lives to Christ, but then we are baptized into his body. We become this collective organism. And we don't operate outside of that organism. We are part of it. We're joined together. We're knitted together, the Bible says. And so when someone says, I don't have to be a Christian to go to church, you don't know your Bible then. Because why would you ever have that perspective? Because when we look at the Bible, there's togetherness. And again, if it just comes down to a church you don't like, go to another church. But get plugged into that church. Get rooted, get grounded, get connected into that church relationally. Function with that church. Find out its purpose. Help serve that purpose. Because when you do, the result is souls. He who wins souls is wise. I said this before. If you really want to lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, souls. Souls. There's not, listen, we're going to be walking on gold. It's not worth a thing. But something that is enduring and forever in heaven is souls. I don't know about you. I want my pockets full of people. Full of people. This person we led to Jesus. This person led to Jesus. This person discipled, led thousands to Jesus. Then you know you get a part of that. It's a pyramid scheme. Heaven is a pyramid scheme. Sign me up for that. We're called to function together as a human body. That's why Paul gives us this illustration. And the writer of Hebrews warns us not to get in the habit of disconnecting, not meeting together as a body. And the early believers, they met daily from house to house. They were in the temple courts, not just weekly. They were there constantly. They did life together. And today, some folks, they find it difficult to come to church every so often. And again, I'm not beating you down. I'm really trying to encourage you because we need you. We need you. It's not biblical for a Christian to be a part from the body. It's just not. And some of you need to hear that today and just encourage you. We need each other and our community needs us to function together. And the body can't be the hands and feet of Jesus because we're the body, right? We're his hands and feet. We're his feet going and his hands loving. We're his mouthpiece even, proclaiming the gospel. We can't be the body of Christ unless we're together. We need the big toe. We need the little toe. We need the armpit, right? I mean, we need all these things. Some people will do this, and they inadvertently, I think, do this. They delegitimize church by claiming their occupation is their ministry. Okay, how many of you heard this? Ministry is meeting needs. Raise your hand. Have you heard that? Come on, don't be afraid. I'm not going to, you're right. Come on, raise your hand if you've heard ministry is meeting. But it's wrong. Because here's why. McDonald's is meeting needs. It's meeting needs. Yeah. It did. See, you should do your job for the glory of God, amen? But that doesn't mean your job is your ministry. Because your ministry is connected to the body. It's connected to the body. See, a ministry will yield in two products, only two. You ready? Conversions and disciples. Period. That is the ministry. I'll show you why. Who is the body of Christ? Okay? The body of Christ is Jesus, okay? Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. It's his body. Your body ministers to you. Yes? It does what you want it to do. Again, if you wake up and your arm is doing its own thing, you are in trouble. If your arm is falling off and it's walking around, that's just a freak show. Friday the 13th just happened, right? Full moon and everything. But I'm telling you, that's weird. So the body, your body ministers to your... Paul's using analogies that we would understand, that they would understand. So the body ministers to the purpose of the head or the person of that body. We minister for the purposes of Jesus. What does Jesus need? What did Jesus give his life for, church? Souls, people. This is what ministry yields in, period. I'm just telling you, we can have meetings, we can have singings, we can have this and that, but honestly, and those things are important, but at the end of the day, if we're not winning people to Jesus and they're not becoming disciples, then we're missing it. And I'm just saying, if we pull, sometimes this happens, and I don't go to church because my job is my ministry. Who are you leading to Jesus? Who are you leading to Jesus? And who are you discipling? Can you cohesively show me from Scripture where that's wrong? I would welcome it. I would invite you to do it, and I will publicly apologize. There's one thing that matters, and it's people. It's people. You might be working and bringing God glory, and that's great. And we should do that in our occupation. But what's your ministering purpose in the body of Christ? Church, the hour is late, and the laborers are few. And we need people together, amen? I want to close by sharing you just a couple verses. I just want to emphasize togetherness. Because if what I shared wasn't enough, then I want to hit you with about four of them right in a row here. And I just want you to see. Hopefully that has at least got your attention now. And just listen to what the Word says. Ephesians 2, verses 21 and 22, in whom the whole building being fitted together, I'm talking about believers, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Philippians 1:27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Colossians 2:19 is going to be my last one. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. We're better together. We are better together, church. We need each other. We are better together serving. We are better together giving. We are better together worshiping. We are better together doing life together.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.